This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. So do you want to say about the Boone bet, or should I do the thing that can't be believed?
Well, let's go. I think the Boone bet's not as exciting as what can't be believed.
So yeah. I'll go first.
No, opposite. You go second.
Yours, okay, tell us the Boone bet.
Yours is more exciting.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell the story on the air that I just told you off the air.
Right.
But isn't that a classic example of when schnurring goes wrong?
Oh, schnurring can go wrong.
It can, yeah. And it did.
And it has.
So I'll save it. I'll tell you guys another day. For now, I text Aaron Boone around 5:45, 6 o'clock.
Very close to kickoff.
Very close. And I say, are we doing this bet or what? A minute later, my phone rings. It's the Yankee, Yankee manager,
the Yankee
Aaron Boone.
Manager calls yeah. you. Little Peter would have never thought that was going to happen.
Who would have believed
right,
it?
That would have been Joe Torre when you were a child.
Yeah. So the Yankee manager, or Billy Martin, would have been really interesting.
Maybe Billy Martin. That would have been very interesting.
Come on, that's a call.
Yeah.
So I pick up. He sounds relaxed. He says he's got his people. You know, he's got about 15, 20 people at
the barbecue,
house,
sure.
Hanging out at the barbecue. I'm just sitting there with Natalie and Ballard.
And by the way, can I add something?
Yeah.
He did text me on Saturday.
And say, hey, are you in town?
He said, are you really coming? He says, I really would love you to be there.
Wow.
And I said, dude, it's you know, Sunday is my anniversary. I don't think that would go over well.
Trip to Florida to watch the Super Bowl?
Right.
No, probably not. So I said, so what's the deal? Are we doing this? He said, what do you want to do? Do you want me, you want to get, what would the odds be if, you know, if how about -7? I said,
-7?
Because he was saying he thinks they were going to win by a lot, remember?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I said, I don't even know how to do the math on if I give you a, if you say it's going to be more than 7. I said, let's just go straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how about.
And you're being very generous then because you deserve a point and a half.
Correct. Right. I said, let's go straight up and let's make it for tickets. You get me.
Legends?
You get me tickets to
yeah,
a Yankee,
you had to say
Yankee
legends,
game of my
though.
Choice. He said, is Delta Club all right?
No!
I wanted Legends.
I mean, Delta Club is great, but I mean, you're betting with the manager of the Yankees.
But doesn't Delta Club get you the big, huge shrimp?
I don't know. I know that people have Delta Club tickets, love it.
But Legends is what gets
Legends,
you the...
Legends gets you yeah, everything.
Including
yeah, Delta Club, isn't that in the outfield, Michael?
No, Delta Club is right under my booth. Great seats.
They're great seats.
On this 200 level.
But should I tell him that okay. I made a mistake? I
oh, that's said, right. Like, that's right, yes.
Why do you do these things without me? Go ahead. And what did you put up?
I said, I will get your kids all VIP, suite, everything to Summer Jam this year, which he said his kids would love, his older kids would love.
Right.
So that was the bet. Straight up.
You put up a lot more.
The Delta Club. So I'm going to write him right now and say, Michael says the Delta Club's nothing.
No, it is something. It's great. But if you're betting the manager of the Yankees, you want a legend seat. You've never sat in a legend seat, right?
Have I sat in a legend seat?
I don't think you have. I've never gotten you legend seats.
No, I think I did once. Well, are the legend seats all the seats behind the plate?
Right, and you have access to the restaurant.
And I did. I went to a play. I had them for a playoff game, I think, once.
Wow.
Once.
And okay, well, it was a bad move by you. So you'll enjoy the you know what?
Should I pull the move? Should I text him and go, hey, did we say Legends or Delta?
Yeah, because it's not taped.
Right, no, he may not remember.
Well, you know, you take the Delta and just wave up at me.
No, you know what he offered me? He offered me a 4 to 6 wow. Delta Club seats. What if I say, hey, let me trade those four to six Delta Clubs for 2 Legends? What about that, Don? Is that fair? And do I want to do that?
It's awkward negotiating after the fact.
Yeah. I mean, you made the deal, man. Yeah. You know what? That's why he's so clever, and that's why he's the manager of the Yankees. Coming up on year number 6, he just completely hoodwinked you.
Yankee fans tell me how nice the Delta Club is.
I'm telling you, it's beautiful.
Is it free food? Well, it's free food and drink, right?
Or you're paying? I think that's where Dawn works, the Yankee game.
Dawn works in the Delta Club? Well, then I already like it a little more.
Yeah.
But listen, every seat at Yankee Stadium is a joy.
In fact, so much that you would go even if you weren't working.
I would.
Just to take it again.
I've taken Charlie to games, Charlie and Callie to games when I don't work.
Would you do that if you were in Milwaukee?
No.
Got it.
Because they don't have a Delta Club, nor do they have a legend seat. So now I'm going to tell my incredible story.
Yeah, this unbelievable story you said.
So I'm driving home Friday, Don, from Farmingdale.
Oh.
And for some reason, the drive from Farmingdale It almost seemed like I was traveling cross country.
No. I just heard something terrible. Mm-hmm.
What?
I've just been informed.
Right.
That the Delta Club gets you complimentary snacks.
Yes.
And soft drinks.
Yes.
Well, I don't need soft drinks at a baseball game. I need hard drinks at a baseball game. Wow. Son of a
gun. You know what? You
gun.
Got hoodwinked.
Wait a second. Legend seats, you do not get drinks for free.
Does it? You pay for drinks.
Because you can't give but you drinks get the, for free because you get
right.
obliterated.
But you do get the shrimp the size of baby's feet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And center cut sirloin.
I want center cut sirloin. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I'm driving home, and I'm not quite sure where I am, Don. I know where I am, but I don't know how to get to where I have to go. So I put it. You know, if you have the iPhone, you don't have an iPhone, there's a little maps icon. Yeah, I put in my home address, and it tells me exactly how to go.
Sure.
All right, so I have it up on my dashboard. And as I'm driving, Don, this is so true. I am not lying, and I still can't believe it happened. I am thinking to myself, and I'm not one of these people. I have friends that talk to themselves. I do not talk to myself.
Okay.
I mean, I think to myself, but I never articulated out
loud
to the world.
I only do if I'm very angry.
I never do.
Even if you're angry.
It's a waste of my voice.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, I'm so hungry. I would love if I see as I'm driving along this highway, I think it was on the Northern State, if I see a Burger King, I'm going to get one of those delightful chicken sandwiches.
Okay.
All right, so the little map shows the road that you're on and tells you the next exit. And on the side is just blank space. Doesn't tell you, like, oh, there's a Bed Bath in the beyond here or there's an Applebee's there. As I think it, Don, it pops up on my screen, Burger King. It read my mind.
I got to tell you, that's very scary. Strange.
That I never said to anybody throughout, because my phone was with me the whole day, I never said, well, I could really use some Burger King. I was thinking it to myself, and that's the only thing on the road that popped up, any kind of retail establishment. It spooked me that I didn't go.
Wow.
I said, no, these people are not controlling me. And I just went on my merry way. But isn't that a little odd?
Oh, see, that's not... It's odd, and I get you feel disturbed, but so you sacrificed would have been a tremendous chicken sandwich. That's silly. You got to lean into it at that point.
No, I'm not going to be controlled by these people.
It was just a coincidence, Michael. No. I get that they pick up your verbiage, but they can't read your mind yet.
I don't know.
They can't do it.
I don't. Hey, they're shooting down UFOs. We don't know what's coming out of the sky. We don't know what's going on anymore.
That is...
Isn't it a little spooky? I mean, he's saying it can't be... It happened.
I don't know.
Be a coincidence.
Don, up until...
Doesn't say McDonald's anywhere.
Up until yesterday, I would have found it weird that three unidentified flying objects had been shot down by the government. But apparently, that's just like throwaway news last night. So...
Thank goodness for the Super Bowl.
I know.
All right, so...
Well, it was the Super Bowl.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, Sirianni, very punchable face. He's going to take that... He's going to take that mantle away from Colin Jost, who has a book titled... That, and it was in the second quarter, and they were looking at whether it was a catch or not, and Sirianni is making dramatic histrionic gestures like it was a catch. You know, he's sending the offense back on the field, and at that point, you saw this, Peter. I don't know if you caught it, Don. Hurts is there and pulls his arm down, said, dude, chill. So a 24-year-old quarterback had to calm down a 41-year-old coach. That's not a good look, man. So Hurts was more in control than Sirianni.
I got to tell you, at that moment, I jumped out of my seat. I was like, are you kidding me? By the way, that wasn't even the first time. He had already done things like pointing for first downs.
Right.
He's always doing these things, you know, that are so OD. And I texted my friend Andrew, my other Andrew from Philadelphia, not...
OD as in obsessive...
No, that's OCD. OD meaning over, like it's over the top.
But how's that a D?
OD. Don't OD. Overdose. Like overdosing. OD.
Okay.
He's just, I'm trying to think of the origin of the slang, but he's just always doing too much. And I text my friend Andrew Goldstein, not Gundling, from Philadelphia.
Is that Steen?
He goes Stein. Okay. People call him both.
Okay.
We call him Goldie. Okay. Anyways, I go.
That makes it easy.
I say, this guy is a clown. And he says to me, if he was your head coach, you'd love him. And I, you know what, I thought back to that, Don. I'd love him if I was 14-2. at 14-3, are you going to love the act in one of those years when you're 7-10?
Hey, I'm telling you.
Like, I mean, the act seems great, but the crying during the national anthem, the pointing on every first down, it's cute because you guys were awesome. Did it still feel cute when you lost?
By the way, Rick said, could OD be overdramatic?
It works that way, too.
Okay.
But I think the origin is overdose.
Well, I'm with you. In any sport, you get those over-the-top coaches. And you're right. Don't listen to a fan of the team. They're going to go by the record. They're playing in a Super Bowl. Of course, they love them. You know, I saw that with the Jets when Mangini said nothing. Oh, we love them because they went to the playoffs. And then when it was Rex who wouldn't shut his mouth, oh, we love them because they went to back-to-back championship games. They're always going to be motivated by the result. But the one thing I can tell you, all these coaches, doesn't matter the sport, when they're over at the top of the histrionics, over-emotional, they don't last long. They burn out quick. Vermeil was the same way in Philadelphia. Very emotional what happened. He burned out. Had to take a long hiatus, do television before he came back with Kansas City. So that would be my only concern if I'm an Eagle fan, is 2 years from now, is he going to be burnt out? Whether the players are done with him, whether he's done with the game, you cannot live and die like that emotionally and show those histrionics and it not come back to burn you at some point.
Yeah, it was a bad look. It was a bad look for him. And also, I don't quite understand the tears during the national anthem. And, you know, he's spoken about how the Whitney Houston national anthem meant so much to him, meant a lot to a lot of people, especially where the world was at that time. And the way she performed it was magical and stirring. Now, maybe he was crying about, you know, the bugs that could be in Chris Stapleton's beard. I'm not quite sure. It was a nice rendition of the national anthem, but it certainly didn't stir me to tears. So I don't think he's that good of an actor. There's no way you could, like, cry like that, but that was a little odd, too.
I don't think he faked it. I just think he's just overly emotional. I mean, he's in the Super Bowl, the anthem. I mean, that crystallizes a lot of hard work that he did to get there, so I can understand you getting emotional. It's just that when you're that over the top, both positive and negative, it wears at you. It's a hard enough job to begin with. But you know, Michael, even ball players, the guys that are, it just adds another layer to get over, another thing that can kind of drag you down, make you tired, exhaust you. That doesn't sound like he's going to be long for, you know, coaching if he continues that way.
My friend's argument that, you know, you love him if he's your coach. Listen, I root for a couple of players that are like that, right? Marcus Smart is one of those guys. You hate when you play against him. He's so annoying. He's always, like, up in your face on defense, goes so hard, jumps on every loose ball. That's the kind of guy you hate unless he's on your team, which you love him. Sidney Crosby, everyone hates him because he dives and does this. Of course anyone would take him because he's the most talented player in hockey. It's not the same with a head coach. Like, it's not the same. Being like, oh, I love that guy because I want the over-the-top emotions. I don't. I want a guy who's going to get the job done. Sirianni seems like he could be really good. I don't know, though. Can I talk to him when he's not coaching a Pro Bowl team? And we're going to find out, because you're right, Michael. They're not going to be able to keep these guys.
They can't.
Between age and contracts, it's going to end. And so I'm curious to see what we get from Sirianni when he's not as loaded. But the act, oof, it's a lot.
He's got to win to keep that act palatable. He just has to.
You cannot be 5-12 with that.
No, you get run out of town. You get and other teams, like what he did during the Giant playoff game where he's looking at the camera like, yeah, we're blowing them out. I know that really ticked off Giant fans.
No. Hey, listen, the players love it until they don't. And you saw it happen in that moment. It's like, coach, come on, we need you here. Stop. All right, stop. We need you to be a little level-headed here because you're the leader. It's like any other sport, any other way of life, is that you just need the leader to stabilize the situation.
Bizarre.
When everything is overly emotional, positive or negative, it's going to wear the players out.
It was bizarre seeing a player tell a coach to, like,
a 24-year-old.
Yeah, be like, whoa, coach, come on. That was pretty
crazy.
That
would be like Oswaldo.
Although it was a cool sign for Jalen Hurts.
Right. Shows you that he's got it together. It would be like Oswaldo Cabrera going over to Boone and going, oh, chill.
Chill. I mean, listen, I understand if, like, yes, you see it happen in, like, a fighting situation or a coach is trying to be demonstrative in the NBA to get the ref's attention and then a player holds them back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this was, though. This was, like, gloating.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was.
Because he thought he was going to blow him out.
It was gloating. It was stupid.
Hey, we have a winner on the phone. Jason in East Northport. Jason, you won a great thing in the Super Box, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I won the final score, so I won the $2,000 in cash and the trip to the Bahamas.
How great is that, nice. Man? Oh. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I wanted to say thank you. This is This is Blanderson Hooper, actually.
I love Blanderson.
Oh, the great Blanderson Hooper.
On Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So I'm really excited. I want to say thank you to all you guys. I can't wait to go on this trip, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's awesome. Will you take one of us? I mean, it is a trip for two.
I mean, my wife might be upset with that, but I mean, I could probably work something out, I guess.
Well, no, might. She would be upset.
Yeah, but she might not even know. When is
I did want to say, I wanted to say for Don, because I think Don would appreciate this. You know, I'm glad that it ended the way it did and the numbers weren't flip-flopped, because I'm a huge Giants fan. And I don't know if I could have gone on that trip and enjoyed it knowing that it came along, you know, attached to an Eagles Super Bowl victory.
Well, you would have fought through it, but I could see there'd be some level of negativity. How about this? So we have a fun little thing that we do here at the station.
Hmm.
I don't know if you read the emails, Don, because you didn't take part in this, and you were smart not to.
Are you being sarcastic when you say fun? It's the dumbest thing ever.
Well, but it was fun.
No, I was asked, and I said no.
Don did the two of us should have done.
I respected Don so much. I was jealous, Don, when you did it.
It's such a stupid, stupid involvement. There's no skill involved, which bothers me.
I know.
I mean, just lady luck.
And I don't want to, like, offend Ryan because it's kind of his thing.
Right.
But, like, it's a dumb game.
Anyway, but there was a lot of food on the line, let's put it that way. And it comes down to this. Andrew Gunling has the Chiefs.
I loved it.
And Dave Rothenberg has the Eagles.
Oh, my God.
So two guys that they would have been sick to their stomach. I'm sure Andrew.
God hates
him. Andrew is sick to his stomach now that he won this jackpot because his Eagles lost.
It's not fair.
So it was definitely tinged with hate.
It was horrifying.
And you know what else is horrifying? Mm. That it's now just accepted. I saw pictures on social media before the game. They're literally greasing the poles in Philly.
That's a thing now.
I mean, okay. Yeah. So don't do that. Stop them from acting like idiots. You're greasing the pole? Oh, listen, I know you don't want to climb that, but we're going to grease it and make it difficult for you to climb. No! Stun gun them. Don't let them do it.
It's too many people. You can't stun gun everyone.
You know what? You've got to change the mindset of groupthink. Okay, when we win, we're going to destroy the city. That's not smart.
Now, did they destroy the city anyway?
I know they were tipping over cars. There were riots.
I knew when that penalty happened, I was like, hey. At that point, Don, once the penalty gets thrown, I go, all right, well, Philly's going to be crazy tonight. And now if somehow, let's say, the Chiefs miss the kick and the Eagles win, it's going to be even double crazy. Right. So either way, it's going to be insane. But I didn't hear any stories about, like, absolute madness there.
Well, yes, as they're tipping over a car in Philly.
I think that's before the game, actually.
Well, that's before.
And yeah, then they ended up losing. That before the game.
How is this, like, now accepted? We'll just deal with the problem, the outgrowth of the problem, rather than stop the problem.
It's Philly, man. You can only hope to
contain. So why don't you have the fire department there and just spray them with high-powered water as they try to climb up poles?
Maybe then
it would get into their heads. No, this isn't cool to do. So we're not going to have fun and grease up poles?
I don't know if that would play well.
Why?
I just don't think the public would like the sight of, fans of the Eagles getting hit with water as they fly off telephone poles.
Oh, so, but do you think it's the fans are like them climbing up telephone poles and then the poles come down and they get hurt?
No, that wouldn't be ideal either.
All right, so you got to do something.
Don, will you help me out here?
It's like treating cancer rather than trying to cure cancer. Cure cancer. Don't just treat it. But chemo's not the last step. Try to cure cancer.
Well, now you're talking about a deep issue.
I say cure the problem.
You got
to
come up with
it.
Something else, Michael.
Oh, whatever. It's just now it's become like a thing. Okay, it's accepted. That's what they're going to do. Philadelphia has become the team that loses. The Philadelphia Union lost in the championship.
Oh, boy.
The Phillies lost in the World Series.
Hey.
And the Eagles lost in the Super Bowl. All you have to do is get James Harden lose in the finals.
I think maybe the solution would be to raise the punishment for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're raising the punishment. They're going to get sprayed with really cold water in the winter.
Don would tell you right now, that's a joy.
Yeah.
That's incentive.
But if you've seen – there's nothing wrong with taking to the streets, okay, and celebrating with fans and all. No, I'm being serious. And then you get a few yo-yos that decide to turn over a car. And you're going to spray a hose. You're going to take down a few people that don't deserve to be taken down. You look, those things are, you get thrown into walls. You're going to hurt somebody. Somebody's going to get sued. You got to find a better way to control it. I agree. If you do something illegal, you should be punished to the full extent of the law. But you can't treat everybody the same way, Michael.
Yeah,
we have a history in this country where that goes sideways.
Well, wait a second. I'm not saying that you go into people's house and spray them with water. People that are climbing the poles.
You wait by the poles and you
spray them with
you
water.
You say, do it, I dare you.
Yeah. We're not going to grease the poles like animals. We're going to treat you with water.
We're going to stand there with hoses like animals instead.
According to the Daily Mail, Eagle fans march on City Hall after Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs. Why? Why is that okay? Why are they marching on City Hall?
Wait, I don't understand. What?
They marched on City Hall.
What were they protesting?
The loss?
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Listen. Good thing the refs made it out safely, though. That could have gotten ugly.
How about the Philly fans booing Dak Prescott when he won the Walter Payton Award?
Come on, you respect that? You have to.
He just won an award for actually doing charitable good.
No, that's fine. It's Eagles fans.
Come on,
dude. You're holding the Eagles fans to too high a standard. They are allowed to boo Cowboys in any setting. I don't care what they say.
Well, yes.
Come on.
By the way, have
you completely lost all fandom, Michael?
No.
To the point where you don't get it?
When the Yankees won in 77, I didn't go out with my friends and tip over cars.
That's not what he means, but would you boo if they randomly honored a Red Sox in front of you? Like, you don't care what it's for. You're booing.
No. You should care what it's for.
No, you can't.
There's a difference. If he came out and was winning the MVP, then boo him until he cries. But he's winning an award that you have to actually do good things for people to win the Walter Payton Award.
Wait a minute. So let's put this into Yankee glasses, okay? Let's go to the 2009 World Series. Yankees-Phillies. All right? And before game one, let's say they honored David Ortiz for winning the Humanitarian Award, and he walks up to home plate and waves to the fans. You don't think the Yankee fans are going to boo him?
They might, and I think it would be wrong.
What do you mean, might? They would.
If he won a Humanitarian Award. So let me get this straight. Who are the Rangers' biggest rival? Would it be the Flyers? Would it be the Islanders?
It's very fluid.
Let's just say it's the Islanders, for kicks and giggles. If you go to the history,
it would be the Islanders.
Okay.
It would be the Islanders. So, for history,
Bobby Nystrom goes into a burning building and pulls out a family of eight, saves their lives, and then he's honored at the Garden the next day. They're going to boo him?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I guess I have a disconnect from society. 1-800.
Is it that crazy? He's an Islander.
But he just saved eight
people's
lives.
He's a Red Sox or he's a Cowboy. Now the burning building that's kind of apples and wrenches, Michael. I mean, you're winning a humanitarian award. Everybody's very charitable when they get to that level. Maybe if he went into a burning building and saved some people, I think they might give him some polite applause, golf applause, if you will.
When we come back, we got to talk to Aaron. We got to talk to Aaron. He's been on hold for forever.
Aaron who? Boone?
No, Aaron in the car.
Oh, if it was Aaron Boone, not Aaron Carr.
No. I feel bad for Aaron Carr.
Don, I've just solved your problem.
Go ahead, try again.
It's Capo Caco's birthday.
That's right.
So why don't you hang out with him? And it's also Howie Rose's birthday.
He's not in Vancouver, I can tell you that.
Let's take a brief time.
How am I going to go out with a player? He's 24 years old, whatever. But you don't fraternize with the players. You know that, Michael. You get together with the players on the road.
I did when I was younger. Now they wouldn't hang out with me. I'm an old man.
Yeah, but you used to, right?
Yeah, they were at my wedding.
Right.
But if you don't go up to them and say, "Hey, let's hang out."
No,
they say something to you.
Would have to come from me. So have a Ranger PR go to Caco's room and say, "Listen, it's Don's birthday. Whatever you do, and take him along."
All right, and he'd say, Don who?
All right, we'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You know, we haven't given a lot of love to Jarrett McKinnon, who did something that a lot of players don't have the wherewithal, mindfulness to do. He slid and stopped at the one-yard line, and that's why they were able to run the clock down to 10 seconds before the field goal. But I was thinking about this, Don. The Eagles were clearly letting him score, and there was somebody behind him. Why wouldn't you tackle him from behind and force him into the end zone? You knew he was going to stop, and if he didn't stop, oh, well, okay, you get a late hit, and the kickoff is from, you know, the 40. But that's the only way I think that you could stop that sliding is you got to tackle him that his momentum carries him into the end zone.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is that once he gives himself up, the play's dead.
But so before he goes in the slide, I'm saying.
Oh, well, again, you want him to score.
Right.
So you don't want to be too on top of him, I guess, because you think he's going to hopefully just go into the end zone. And then once he gives himself up, I don't know if they'd allow it. I hear what you're saying, but I think once I don't know if.
No, but I know exactly what you're saying. But
right
I would
on top of him
when he goes into the slide, then you know, then it's null and void. But as he's running, just level him from behind where his momentum has to carry him into the end zone. I don't know if it's doable, but I definitely thought about
another thing. Yeah, it would have been worth it.
Another thing that jumped out at me: there was not one kickoff return. What are we doing? Why don't we just place the ball at 25? Why do we even have kickoffs? And if I was a coach, one thing that I would teach my kickers all the time, every single time, kick the ball inside the 5, not into the end zone. You should be able to do that. I want kick returns. Yeah. I want them to start on the 15. Every single drive, Don, started on the 25. Every kickoff was through the end zone. You've taken away Devin Hester. Well, remember that when we were on the beach, we watched Devin Hester return the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Yeah. Now that doesn't exist anymore.
You know, and I talked to Mike Westhoff over the summer about this, and it just drives him crazy as well. He doesn't know why they don't do it either. I guess a lot of kickers just don't have the confidence. They're afraid it'll end up at the 10, and it'll get returned to the 35. But it just shows you the brilliance of the NFL. About, what is it, 6-7 years ago, they floated the idea about getting rid of the kickoff, and people went apoplectic. We did days on it on the air. Now they're taking the foot out of football. How could they do this? Well, they changed the rule. Now you get 90% balls out of the end zone. So what is everybody saying? Let's get rid of it. So the NFL's got this way of making you upset about something they want to do, and they wait you out to where now you're begging them to do it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's
every
what they're
single,
do,
every single kickoff. It started at the 25.
By the way, can we talk about the greatness of the Kadarius Toney punt return? And first of all, it was one of the most patient punt returns I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, he was crossing the street.
Yeah, like he was not running like fast. He was waiting for things to work out in front of him. And also, I know Giants fans get angry when I say this and say that I'm an idiot who doesn't know anything and I don't understand. And you're right. I don't understand the inner workings of what was happening. Guess what? Neither do you. You only understand what we heard. on a team, Don, that was completely bereft of talent. How could they not figure out, specifically wide receiver talent? You're telling me it was impossible to figure out? Because we all know Kadarius Toney was a bit of a head case and he was drafted. All the evidence was there. Everybody knew. That's why he slipped in the first place. But Don, once you make the decision to get him, how did they get to a point where they could not keep him? Oh, he doesn't fit in their offense and what they do. He doesn't do this, blah, 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 blah. You can't use him every down. Okay, I've heard it all. But Don, the bottom line is they have no talent at that position, and that kid's good.
Well, it was mostly about his health. So it just came down to, did he want to play? Was he really hurt? You know, so I don't know the whole story. You're right. I don't know either way. But it didn't sound as much about we don't know what to do with him. It's just that he was hurt a lot. And I think there were some questions on how hurt he was, which makes people believe that maybe he was the one that orchestrated his way out. But then you look at the way Galladay was handled too, another guy that wasn't getting a lot of targets, a lot of playing time. Was it because he was dropping the ball, or was there something else? I don't know.
And well, I guess I want
to
know
a way to make it work. You don't like lose. I don't like giving up talent, Peter, period. Especially when I don't have it at that position. But it seemed that there was something going on that would make this all make sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. So everyone says it's the injury thing. He refused to get back on the field. They think he was bluffing. They got rid of him. If that's true, my question is, why did he not want to get back on the field? The way I look at it is, no matter how you cut it, the onus is on the organization with a young player to figure out how to make it work. You went out and got them. Now you're just going to throw them away, essentially, get rid of them, and then they go somewhere else and they contribute to a Super Bowl? That's tough.
Well, here's what I would guess, all right, just with the information that was presented to us. Remember, the issues that he had when he was drafted and all the stuff that happened off the field was the previous regime. So Shane comes in here with Dable, and they don't know him from Adam. He's getting a chance to start over. So I don't think it had anything to do with his reputation, all right? And he wants to play the best players. They don't play him. Why? My guess would be that the way the Giants, especially early in the season, structured the offense was, we don't know if we've got a quarterback, so we're going to come up with a bunch of plays where he's going to run the ball, a lot of RPO kind of stuff, and that takes a lot of the receivers out of it. And I wonder if that ticked off the wide receivers, like, hey, this isn't the place to be, because they've got a quarterback they don't believe in. They're structuring an entire offense for him not to throw the ball.
Maybe.
And that probably ticked off Galladay and Toney. Now, it ended up, he started to develop and things started to open up, but I just think a lot of the wide receivers are like, do we really want to babysit this quarterback and not get the ball? That would be my guess, but I could be wrong.
It's also interesting that Joe Shane's fingerprints all over this game.
Keep going.
Cut James Bradbury. James Bradbury was in there on the last play. Very decisive part of the play.
He was very good for them throughout the year.
Toney could have been the MVP if you were thinking outside just a quarterback.
If Toney gets another 5 yards further.
Right.
Now he's got two touchdowns, maybe. One on that punt return. And by the way, that punt return was huge. That's a huge moment of the game. And how about the fumble recovery for a touchdown that came back?
Yep.
That was the same dude.
Yeah, Bolton.
Imagine if Bolton gets both. What were the odds on him getting MVP?
I don't
want to sit here and
go ahead.
You know, spend the day talking about, you know, calls, but God, we got to figure out this whole what's a catch, what's not a catch. That seemed like a catch to me, didn't it to you?
No, on replay it didn't. It seemed like the second he kind of settled in any way, he was hit. But you're right, man. It's very funny. Like, the one thing we don't know in football is what a catch is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they look too deep into it and they slow it down. But I'm a person who's all for a replay because I think you don't want to lose a Super Bowl on a play that could be reviewed.
They did a good job. I think they got it right with that one, and I think they did a good job with the Goddard reception on the sideline, too.
He had some game.
Yeah, he did. By the way, the tight ends in that game, yeah, they were special. But when Goddard let go of the ball, I thought, oh, he didn't get 2 feet down. You look closely, the back toe was down. Mm-hmm. Listen, they mostly did an okay job, and they mostly let them play.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. There was somebody that rubbed me the wrong way yesterday. I want to talk about that. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so there's absolutely nothing that you can say to take away from the greatness of Travis Kelce. Boy, does he come off as unlikable, especially on those on-field interviews where he, like, morphs into WWE. He's doing wrestling shtick.
And not only that, and he steals the wrestling shtick that he does. That's part of the bottom.
And then, like, when he was sitting at the desk with Chris Berman and Booger McFarland and Steve Young, he's talking coherently and thoughtfully. But when he's on that stage, he's trying to get all the attention. He wouldn't let Patrick Mahomes speak. He's a jabroni.
He annoys me. No way around it. I'm sorry. I don't want to agree with you. I really prefer when you dislike a player and I think you're, like, totally wet. Like, I think your take on Jalen Hurts is pretty awful today.
Really?
Yeah, I do. The fact that you're saying you didn't come away that impressed with Hurts, I think.
I thought he was great, but I don't think he's great.
I just I find that to be a weird take.
Okay, I find you to be weird.
I'm in lockstep with you on Kelce, though. He's just so annoying.
I'm with Peter.
Right? How did you leave yesterday's game not impressed with
Hurts? He hasn't played 40 games in the NFL yet, Peter.
Right. So
he hasn't even played 40 games yet.
But that's my point. I'm not anointing him as one of the greats of the game yet. He has not shown me he can throw.
But he threw well last night.
No, he didn't. There was air under all of his throws. He did not fit anything into a tight spot.
That's so what? Were they complete? Did he throw a pick?
No, he played great.
He had one terrible fumble, although that play
but
was
I don't,
completely
I don't
blown
hold that
up.
That against him because
that play was terrible.
If they don't have the offsides, the previous play, that never even happens.
Right.
So I thought the guy was tremendous. He would have been the MVP if they won. I just don't see it yet. Is that so wrong?
No.
I don't saying you know Don. Here's
well, listen,
the crazy
everybody's
part.
Everybody's got opinions. No wrong opinion.
But here's the crazy one for Michael. Now he said, had they won the game, which you could argue they should have,
right?
You would have had him as the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
But you don't see greatness yet to do that. This
I
fast,
don't see. I don't see the overwhelming greatness that you see in the great quarterbacks that he's got to throw. I don't see the great Lamar Jackson is an MVP. I don't see greatness with him.
Jalen has a much better arm than Lamar Jackson. It's more accurate. His deep ball's better. God, please, other people
and
out there,
100%.
Call us. And he's not 100%, Don. And he had some really great stuff, including, we talked about it last week, some throws in the championship game to put away the Niners. Listen, I get it if you're not willing to call him Patrick Mahomes yet. Absolutely not. No one is Patrick Mahomes except Patrick Mahomes. But I don't know, Don. If Jalen Hurts was available right now, with the exception of about four teams, I'm taking him.
Michael is looking a little deeper than just the surface of stats, but still, those stats are pretty impressive. He's essentially played 2 years in the NFL. He's made the playoffs in both years, and the he's lost two games as a starter this year. Two. The other losses came when he wasn't in when he wasn't playing. So he lost to the Commanders, which could very easily have been a win, and then the Super Bowl, which also could have very easily been a win. So he's been pretty impressive. Now, will he become Patrick Mahomes? I would probably bet no, because Mahomes is a really special talent, just like Tom Brady was a real special talent, and I don't want to hold Mahomes to that kind of standard because, like we said earlier in the show, you almost have to leave Brady alone and start, you know, from scratch again. But I think when you look at the second-generation quarterbacks, the Mahomes and the Burrows and the Allens, Hurts is a step behind because he hasn't played as much. But I suspect next year he is going to be right on the plateau with those other great quarterbacks.
Well,
really
if Rodgers is traded to the Jets, and we'll get into that later, he might be the best quarterback in the NFC. But I don't think he's on.
Well, we know he's either going to retire or go to the AFC, right?
No,
he
could stay with the Packers.
That's a pretty fair argument.
He could stay with the Packers.
Well, he could.
I mean, I think he's better than Stafford now. I mean, Goff had a really great year. He's better than him. The NFC doesn't have great quarterbacks, but if you put him in the AFC, he's not in the upper echelon, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
But he could be. But Peter, would you say by the end of next year, he might be right there with Allen and Burrow?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's got to throw.
But he throws. I think, what was he, 27 to 38 yesterday?
He did a great job, over 300 yards. He's got to throw into small spaces.
Why? Since when? Hold on. When is the standard for great quarterback? I only judge it by whether you can fit the ball into small spaces.
Making unbelievable throws.
But if you have a great deep ball and you do other things well. I mean, I think he'll be capable of doing that too. You just haven't seen it. Maybe his shoulder's not good, so he's not trying to squeeze it in.
I don't think his shoulder was great yet. So I'm reserving judgment. Don't jump me.
And listen, I give you full right to reserve judgment whether he's iconic or not. But to say, Michael, are you telling me right now, if you were the Jets or Giants and he was available, You wouldn't take Jalen Hurts right now?
If I was the Jets, I would. I'm not sure I'd take Jalen Hurts over Daniel Jones. I'm not sure.
I'm really? Confident. Yeah.
Daniel Jones has a better arm.
He does have a better arm.
Better arm.
I'd still take Jalen Hurts.
This kid's special, though.
I think he's special, too. Really, and he has to sit there and keep his coach in line.
The curse stuff. And this is, hopefully you take this the right way, Peter.
Okay.
Wrestling only works in wrestling. When you start taking it to other things, it's too over the top.
I agree.
Like, all the histrionics that happen in wrestling are perfect for wrestling. When you start to do that in other sports, it just you're a tool.
Well, somebody, is that fair? Somebody on Twitter has a good question for you, Peter.
Okay.
Now that Tom Brady has a seat open on table one at your wedding, is Jalen Hurts sliding into table one?
Ooh.
You better not put him there.
I'll say this. You know what? I'll give you this, Michael, on your point. I need to see half of next year before I decide to change.
That's all I'm saying.
True.
I'm not burying the guy.
I put him at two.
Okay, that's fair.
He's sitting at two, though.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not at the Burrow table yet, but he will be. Might be.
Your issue, Michael, is not what you feel about. Like saying you don't see it. I see it. Now, I need to see more of it. I need to see it for a few years. But, I mean, it's basically a two-year quarterback.
Right.
What are the quarterbacks outside of Dan Marino can, you know, and Mahomes – who also have, you know, terrific coaching, both of them, had the kind of first 2 years in the league that he's had.
And I couldn't agree.
Pretty incredible
couldn't
stuff.
Couldn't agree with you more. I agree with everything you're saying. I just don't want to anoint somebody after 2 years.
No anoint.
New York Islanders' 50th anniversary season continues with celebrations and giveaways all season long at UBS Arena. ESPN New York wants to make you a part of this historic season. Entered within two free tickets to see the Islanders face off against the Penguins. That's at home on February 17th. Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll down to contests, and submit your entry. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more. And catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream, heard only on the ESPN New York app. Great app. So Amalie Walker, who covers the Rangers for the Post, Peter, she tweeted out, "I asked New York Rangers birthday boy Capo Caco what his plans are for today. Quote, I don't know. Right now, I'm going to take a nap and then to dinner." He's not going to the Vancouver game. He's going to go to dinner.
Yeah, of course he's done. He's not a loser.
He's a player.
But don't you think he loves hockey more than you?
I'm a big boy.
No, he loves hockey in a different way. He loves playing hockey. And he looks at opportunities with a couple of days off in Vancouver as a way to kind of decompress. He was on the ice for practice today. He'll be practicing tomorrow. That's apples and balloons. It's not even comparable. That's what he does for a living. Like me wandering to radio stations when I have the day off. I love radio, but I'm not going to go hang on the weekend with Ty Butler and watch him do a show.
I love
but
Ty.
But as a fan? No, but I'm just using an example. Anytime I can drop Ty Butler's name, I'm going to do it. But I work in radio. I love radio.
Ty.
I'm not going to go hang in a station on my day off. That's the same for him. He's not going to hang and watch a game on his day off. But me as a fan, I'm sure lots of fans of radio who aren't in radio would love to come watch us. That's why they all came on Friday, right? You see what I did there?
You're very bright.
You follow?
I get it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.